one and one together, watching what this thing unravel. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I can't get a hold of someone that can get NSRI out there, or the vessel that was in the bay, which was a trawler. I know the owner, or knew the owner's father, Chick MacArthur, and his son's on board that vessel. And I thought, how do I get hold of that guy to go across to the Wimpy Bar or to Gunrock and help these three guys?
Yeah.
Because the young guy, of course, the young guy swam out there in quite treacherous conditions, and he got out to the close to the patient, but fortunately the crowd just rode him on to actually to the exact spot where the patient was, and he secured the patient, but then he couldn't get back to the rocks or back to the shore or towards Orient Beach with the patient because of the strong wind and current.
Okay.
So the backup plan they had was the other guy, Michael Ntela. He jumped on the paddle ski at the Orient, and he got to them in time. By the time he got to them, these guys were already getting tired.
I bet.
But my plan was already in place, because I had got hold of Jenny at the East London Yacht Club, and she said, phone John Barry. And I said, oh, I've got John Barry's number. Phone John Barry and Murphy's Law. There was no answer. The next thing, John Barry phoned me back. I said, John, can you get hold of MacArthur out there on that boat? Because we need him. There's three guys drowning off Gunrock. He said, Mike, it's done. I'll get back to you as soon as the vessel's on its way there.
Right. And, you know, this obviously happened very, very quickly. Just put us in the picture, Gunrock, along our Orient Beach, Wimpy Bar coastline. Whereabouts is it?
Okay. It's right near the first paddling pools. As you go into the ticket office, down onto the left side, it's a favorite fishing spot, because there's a lot of current and deep water off the Cove Rock.
Okay.
Gunrock. Yeah. So this little guy got into the – I didn't see him get washed off or whatever. I just saw him going in the gully, and I saw the lifeguard running with the boy, Jim Corsi. I thought, this is a brave move, because you're not going to get back in that current. You've got to have to bring him back through those waves,
Jim
Corsi. But he had to get to the guy, because the guy already was getting taken by the current, getting washed out to sea. And if he didn't get in the water quick as he did, he would have had to swim at least 500 meters or more. And by that time, the guy's drowned. He's under the water. You'll never find him.
Yes, yes.
So the quick acting on Ngosi, he was a brave act, let me tell you. That was the thing that sort of said, Mark, this guy's not going to get him back. Act. You've got to do something now.
Yeah.
And you've got the contacts because of the paddling. And my life saving, I thought, well, let me phone. I know the ticket officers and those ladies there, there's no telephone there. There's no emergency list number for the port control. There's nothing. They're there just to say hello, goodbye when you walk in and out. And obviously they get the ticket office and they makes you pay. So it's a poor infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was going to be my next question. And without making a sort of taking a direct body blow at Buffalo City Metro, but what clearly is happening here is that the infrastructure is actually not up to scratch to deal with emergencies. And we, you know, you being an experienced life, you know, from your surf life saving, and also one who uses the water virtually daily, you're aware of the dangers. But our visitors to the coastline aren't aware of the dangers. Our lifeguards, according to the Daily Dispatch reports, are under-trained, although these two guys sound like they were pretty well-trained, but we don't have enough lifeguards who are trained properly, and they're not equipped. So this could have ended badly for the youngster.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when it comes to surf life-saving, training is ongoing. You know, you can't ever say, look, it's like life. You could learn every single day when you're on the beach and you're life-saving. Fortunately, let's give Buffalo City credit where it's due. They had four lifeguards sitting at the paddling pool. They had not one on the beach. Luckily, there were no people on the beach, but they had the guards there. And the guards that went out of there on that rescue, that would have been out of their jurisdiction, in effect. So that guy, of course, he was a very, very brave man.
Yeah.
And I believe that he should be awarded a bravery medal for what he did. Because by doing that, he put his life at risk and he saved a person. I mean, if he had never got to that guy, it was a matter of minutes or seconds that he could have lost, that guy could have lost his life.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, because he didn't hesitate, he got in the water, he swam out. And when I seen Nkosi, then my buddies, I'm going to give him a big hug and I'm going to tell him, well done, you were a brave man.
Yeah.
And that's what prompted me to act as quickly as I could my knowledge of what I could do from my side, knowing that the ladies at the security guards at the ticket office don't know the emergency numbers. And as I said, they don't have a phone there. I've never seen them, the phone there. So, yeah. And Michael Ntela to come off on his paddle ski to have a backup plan. Look, they tried their best. And that plan never got the guy to the beach, but it saved the lives of the drowning, of the drowning. And that was the most important thing.
And what we would take from this exercise or from this event is that, first of all, the officials on duty at the beach should have some kind of emergency contact. And it'll be interesting to hear from Buffalo City if they do or if they are planning on giving them something. And, you know, outfits like, as you mentioned, Port Control, I'm thinking probably a National Sea Rescue Institute. But the fact that you were able to scramble a boat that was in the area was probably the quickest thing to do, because NSRI would still have had to have deployed. The port control would have had to have deployed one of their, I would guess maybe a pilot boat or something, would have come out. So the fact that there was a boat in the bay nearby was probably the best call under the immediate circumstances.
Yeah, no, that was sent by the Lord. Believe you me, because I saw that vessel coming and I thought, what's he doing here? He must have his echo sound on. He must be chasing fish, because they don't normally fish there. And then the next thing I saw, he throw his anchor, because I was on the pier looking if the fishing was all right for later that day.
Uh-huh.
And I saw saw the sea spirit come through, and I thought, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. And so to me, I was aware of the fact that it could be port control could have also contacted that vessel. But unfortunately, I didn't have their number on my phone. I've got a new phone. I had their number on my previous phone. I must actually download it on this. But I had the East London Yacht Club number, and I couldn't get a hold of John Barry immediately. I phoned Eel Yacht Club, one of the ladies there, the secretary there, Jenny, and she said to me, no, just get on with Barry. I said, oh, I've got John Barry's number. I'll confirm John Barry. So it was a big, major team effort. And you know, when you look at time, when you have got time against you, to get this thing together and save the guys, I think that was absolutely unbelievable. To put it all together at that short notice.
At very, very short notice. And also, probably the whole incident played out in less time than we've been chatting right now. So it's something that, you know, happens very quickly, and you've got to kind of think on your feet. Mark, absolutely. Thanks very, very much for chatting to us. Well done on quick thinking, and well done to the two guys, the two Buffalo City lifeguards that were out in the water. And definitely education.
Absolutely.
Education is needed. I've got so many questions. What was the youngster doing down there? Was he washed out? Was he playing in the paddling in the rock pools? And he got maybe lost his footing. There are so many questions, but we need to respect the ocean. That's the bottom line.
They need to cordon that off and have a gate there that the guys can just go down and fish. They can't let the crowd go onto the masses, go onto that rock. That rock is treacherous, especially that there was a warning out yesterday morning as well for big swell.
Yeah.
And they don't need these messages or don't hear them. But, you know, full credit to you've got to give credit to BCM to have the lifeguards available. They were there and they did their job, and congratulations, guys.
Well done to all concerned. And Mark, thanks very, very much for chatting and letting us get some background on that story, which is on the front page of today's Daily Dispatch.
That's a pleasure, and it's always been good to be a service. Thank you.
Great. Mark, take care. Thanks very much. Looking forward to chatting to you with your sports on Friday.
Thank you.
Cheers then, Mark.
Day.
There we go. That's Mark Godfrey chatting to us this morning about a rescue that took place off the Orient Beach yesterday. And it once again just shows how we've got to respect the ocean. We cannot stress that enough. We've got the entire Buffalo City region, bordered on the one side by the ocean. It forms a very, very integral part of the Buffalo City area. And Mark, thanks for that. And well done to the lifeguards. And Buffalo City Metro, maybe you should start looking at looking after the lifeguards and making sure that they are well trained. Because these guys were well trained, they did what they needed to do, but we need more lifeguards with the same level of training.